Turn with me to John chapter 5. I have nothing new to bring to you today. Peter would say no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. If I had something new to bring you today, y'all need to run me out of here. Brother Rodney said that we cannot lose our salvation. I truly believe that the doctrine we teach is the only doctrine that teaches that you cannot lose your salvation. Now, people think they believe that, you know, the term is once saved, always saved. And I'm not being ugly towards them. I'm just, let's try that. What happens to a baby if they die in infancy or in the womb? Well, they go to heaven. Okay. What happens if they reach the age of accountability? Are they still going to heaven? Well, no. Then they got to accept Jesus as their Savior. What if they accept Jesus as their Savior? Are they going to heaven? Well, yeah. Well, then they went from saved to not saved to saved.
Yeah.
That's not once saved, always saved.
No. That's right.
They lost their salvation. John chapter 5. My job is to keep everybody awake after lunch, and I'm fully aware of that. John chapter 5 says, beginning in verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's read 9 verses there in John chapter 5. A couple of observations about this. This man was impotent. That means unable to take effective action. Helpless or powerless. That's what that means. Notice how in verse 5 it says a certain man was there. Could Jesus have healed every man there? Of course he could have. Why didn't he? I don't know. He's God. He's the creator. We are the creatures. Is this not a picture of election? God does what he wills to whom he wills, when he wills. But what I want to focus on today, and if I had a title to this sermon, which I do have a title, it would be just no man, those two words. No man. Sir, I have no man. Do you know those two words are mentioned together like that in Scripture? No man, over 200 times in Scripture. Now, if I was Ronald Lawrence, I'd spend the next 20 minutes telling y'all 200 times where they're at and what they mean. But I'm not, so I can't, so I won't even try. But I do want to give you some more well-known examples in Scripture of when it says no man. Exodus 33 and 20, you'll all know this one. There shall no man see me and live. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement. Is that not a picture of what is to come? You think about the Apostle Peter. He said, Lord, I'll go with you all the way. If Peter would have known his Bible, he would have known he couldn't go with him.
Wow, that's exactly
right. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 6, speaking of the death of Moses. No man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Job 24 and 22, he says, no man is sure of life. Proverbs 28:1, a life verse I live by. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. I don't understand these folks running up and down the road. Ain't nobody chasing them. I played enough ball in high school that I swore if I ever got out and didn't have a coach yelling at me to run harder, I'd never do it again. And I have kept that promise. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. No man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. How true is that? Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. No man hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. My best friend at work is sitting at home right now watching his mother-in-law take her last breaths. They are powerless, completely helpless, as is she. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Matthew 24, 4, take heed that no man deceive you. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. No man of that day and hour knoweth no man.
Yeah, that's right.
Look at Mark chapter 10. This is one I love. If y'all aren't experiencing this today, I don't know what to tell you. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Mark 10:29 says, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life. How many of you are experiencing that today? Brothers and sisters right here. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man. So in John chapter 5, where we read, where it says, I have no man. I want to call your attention to verse 19 of John chapter 5, where it says, then Jesus answered and said unto them, talking to the Jews, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things ever he doeth, these also the Son likewise. Jesus was declaring his deity right here. No man could help the impotent man. No man could have healed him. No man could have. But see, Jesus was more than just a man. He was declaring his deities to his deity to the Jews right here. Look back at verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Oh no. He healed a guy on the Sabbath day. How awful. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. He would say at another point that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Aren't you glad God doesn't rest on the Sabbath? I don't believe he created this thing and just took his hands off and said, y'all do what you want to. I believe he still controls every... I'm not an absoluter. You know what I mean? Please, don't accuse me of that. But God keeps this world by the power of his hand. Jesus, his point was about healing on the Sabbath. He said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. See, God doesn't take a day off. Now, he gave us the example in creation, but God doesn't take a day off. Praise God for that. And the next chapter in John chapter 6, verse 42, it says, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Well, because he had taught Nicodemus this, see, in John chapter 3, In verse 13, when he said, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Jesus wasn't saying nobody has ever died and went to heaven. He was saying nobody's ever gone to heaven and came back to tell you about it. So you think about that next time somebody says they went to heaven and talked to God and he came back to this earth, okay? To sell books.
Amen.
So then look at verse 43 of John chapter 6. "Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." You know, it would have probably been enough for Jesus to say, "No man will come to me." But that's not what he said. He said, "No man can." That's a lot stronger than "will."
Yes, it is.
Because I promise you, somebody would have done like Peter and said, "I will." Okay, nobody can. You do not have the ability. So then my question, being from what I read in John chapter 5, this impotent man said, "I have no man." So then when Jesus says no man can come, are we simply spiritually impotent? Think about that question for a minute. It's not what Jesus said. Look back to John chapter 5, verse 20. And John 5, 20, he says, "For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." Greater works than what? What he had just done. Healed this impotent man. Here's the greater work, verse 21. "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Now, quickeneth means to make alive, right? We know that. Read on, verse 22. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from life unto death." Hath, already possesses, is passed, already passed from life to death. Hearing the gospel and believing it does not bring life. It is proof of life. We know that. So then Jesus was saying in verse 21 that the Son quickeneth whom he will. He was speaking spiritually. He wasn't talking about the final resurrection. He wasn't talking about the body being physically resurrected. He was talking about being spiritually dead. So we are more than impotent when it comes to what we are by nature. Verse 25. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." He's talking right there, right then and now. "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Paul basically says the same thing in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. So, one thing I do know from my time here on this earth is that a dead man has less ability than an impotent man. I do know that. The impotent man was at the pool. He did get there. He was seeking help. He was. But the answer of the impotent man is even stronger by Jesus talking about the spiritually dead. What did Jeremiah say in Jeremiah 13 and 23? "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to evil."
Yeah.
I don't think an Ethiopian wants to change his skin. I don't know why he would want to. And I don't think a leopard's ever thought about changing their spots. Not only can they not, they don't want to. Think about what I'm saying. The rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19 came to Jesus. In verse 16, he said, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He was looking to man, wasn't he? He was looking to man. So Jesus tells him about keeping the law perfectly, and the man goes away sorrowful. Why? Because there's not a lick of hope in that.
Amen.
There's no hope in that.
That's right.
So then, in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 19, it says, "When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, 'Who then can be saved?'" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." You see, the impotent man was looking to himself or looking to men. The rich young ruler was looking to men. And the impotent man even said, "I have no man." He judged correctly. So then as we continue on in John chapter 5, we go from impotent to Jesus talking about the spiritually dead. And how do we know he was talking about the spiritually dead instead of the physically dead? Well, verse 28 teaches us this. In John 5, 28, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this." When he's talking about giving life to the dead. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So you see, Jesus goes through in John chapter 5 explaining three stages of power, and it gets stronger and stronger every time. First, he heals a impotent man. Then he gives life to the spiritually dead. Then he talks about giving life to the altogether dead. Because a spiritually dead man here on this earth still has physical life within his body, right? So he gets stronger and stronger and stronger talking about the power of God. And see, this seemed as witchcraft to most, talking about raising man from the dead, because no man can raise someone from the dead, right?
Right.
No man. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, verse 2, it says Peter and John were arrested by the Sadducees. And this is what they were arrested for. It says, "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead." That was a man. Jesus was a man. They all saw him. They knew him. They saw him walking around. They're preaching that a man can do this. You know, not only did people know this was true, that man could not help himself, praise God, he knew it was true also. I believe it was Brother Mike this morning mentioned Psalm chapter 14. Psalm chapter 14 and verse 2. "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Paul would quote this in Romans chapter 3.
Yes.
Isaiah would say in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 1 and 2 says, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man?" Another example of no man. "When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem?" Even though there is no man, does that matter to me? Does that matter to God?
Right.
"Or have I no power to deliver?" What if the preacher doesn't get to him? What if the gospel? Boy, I tell you what. "Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. You see, because man broke the first covenant. Book of Hebrews said, for finding fault with them, finding fault with men who could not keep it. No man could keep it. And that was part of it. Man had to keep his part. So, God made a new one. And it was prophesied there in Jeremiah chapter 31. In Jeremiah 31 and 31, he says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. I held up my end of the bargain, they did not.
Right.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. What is God's answer to the fact that no man could keep that covenant? God could, but no man could. I tell you what his answer was. I'll make a covenant they don't have to keep. I just got to keep it. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God. And they shall be my people if they continue on in my ways. Is that what it says? No. And they shall be my people. There's a period right there. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more, if they'll just accept me and say the sinner's prayer.
No.
Not in there. I, in those four verses, I is used eight times. God speaking of himself, what I will do, what God will do, because no man could help himself. In Isaiah 63:3, another verse Peter should have known when he said, I'll go with you all the way, Lord. It's prophesying of Christ. It says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. You know, knowing your Bible will save you from a lot of error in this life. What a save Peter. Isaiah 59:16, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Too hard for God. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Isaiah 65:5, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. Since we had no man, this was a prophecy of the man. The man that Paul told Timothy about. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, beginning with verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You want to know what your role is in politics? Sure, go vote, whatever, that's good. But you know what you're to do? You're to pray for them, and you are to handle your business quiet and peaceably.
Yeah.
Not, that doesn't say thou shalt get on social media and argue with your neighbor or argue with somebody you don't even know
right.
about politics.
Come on.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. By the way, that verse is not a problem. You know that one of the definitions of men, it is a subset of man. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the Holy One of Israel. He's the Captain of the Lord of Hosts. He is the second Adam. I tell you, all, he will have all men to be saved. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that hath sent me, that of all he giveth me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He will have all men to be saved. that man, Jesus Christ. Because Paul taught us in Romans 5:15, the gift of grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And praise God, the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 says, by one man came death, that's Adam, but by man also came the resurrection of the dead. We had no man until we had the man. May God bless you.
Amen.